The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod.
July 21st.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Roger, this is Liberty Bell 7. The clock is operating.
Loud and clear, Jose. Don't cry too much.
Okie doke.
On this day in 1961, Gus Grissom became the second American in space, on a trajectory almost identical to Alan Shepard's suborbital Mercury flight. But there was just one problem.
I have actuated the rescue aids. The reserve chute has jettisoned. In fact, I can see it in the water, I think. See something around the water. And the whip antenna should be up.
I repeat what happened downrange in the pickup area. We know that the helicopter attempted the pickup of the Mercury spacecraft. We know that Virgil Gus Grissom got aboard the helicopter. We also know that some kind of malfunction occurred. The spacecraft was dropped in the ocean and sank. And this is John Powers in the Mercury Control Center signing off at this time.
The exit hatch on Liberty Bell 7 blew prematurely, allowing the Mercury capsule to take on more water than its flotation system could handle. While Gus Grissom was lifted out of the water after bailing out, his vehicle was lost. An expedition to find and recover the capsule finally lifted it off the floor of the Atlantic Ocean in 1999. In 1962, NASA announced plans for Launch Complex 39 at Cape Canaveral, a major construction project involving three launch pads and a vehicle assembly building large enough for construction of a Saturn V rocket in its upright position. Only two of the launch pads were ever constructed, but these were the facilities used throughout the Apollo and Space Shuttle programs. The Apollo-era launch towers have since been decommissioned and demolished, but the vehicle assembly building is still standing and is now home to construction activities for the Advanced Space Launch System. And in 2011, the last American space shuttle to orbit Earth, Atlantis, returned for its final landing at the runway at Kennedy Space Center, the end of the space shuttle era.
The pre-flare maneuver executed. Landing gear down and locked. Main gear touchdown. Hurley now deploying the drag chute. Ferguson rotating the nose gear down to the deck. Nose gear touchdown. Having fired the imagination of a generation, a ship like no other, its place in history secured, the space shuttle pulls into port for the last time, its voyage at an end.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle's earned its place in history and has come to a final stop. Thank you, Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, Endeavour, and our ship Atlantis. Thank you for protecting us and bringing this program to such a fitting end.
Born on this day in 1620, French astronomer Jean-Félix Picard. Robin Williams was born today in 1951.
Relax, Earthling. I mean you no harm.
Oh. Sure, how am I supposed to know? What do? Do you just use that to scare people with?
No, keeps rain off my head. Are you Reggie Cunningham?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me.
Is this your house?
Wait a minute, who are you?
I am Mark from Mark. Your buzzer.
The first American astronaut to reach space, Alan B. Shepard, died in 1998. Composer Jerry Goldsmith, whose movie music included Planet of the Apes, Alien, and many of the Star Trek movies, died on this day in 2004. Actor Theodore Bickel, a veteran of stage and screen who played memorable roles on Star Trek The Next Generation and Babylon 5, died on this day in 2015. And in 2017, Deborah Watling, who played Doctor Who companion Victoria Waterfield, died.
If you are 450 years old, you need a great deal of sleep.
Well, that's very considerate of you, Victoria, but between you and me, I'm really quite lively, actually, all things being considered. Are you happy with us, Victoria?
Yes, I am. At least, I would be if my father were here.
Yes, I know, I know.
I wonder what he would have thought if he could see me now.
You miss him very much, don't you?
It's only when I close my eyes. I can still see him standing there before those horrible Dalek creatures came to the house.
You know, the memory of him won't always be a sad one.
I think it will. You can't understand being so ancient.
Eh?
I mean old.
Oh.
You probably can't remember your family.
Oh, yes, I can when I want to. And that's the point, really. I have to really want to bring them back in front of my eyes. The rest of the time, they sleep in my mind, and I forget. And so will you. Oh, yes, you will. You'll find there's so much else to think about, to remember. Our lives are different to anybody else's. That's the exciting thing. Nobody in the universe can do what we're doing.
In 1962, comedy writer Terry Nation tried his hand at science fiction, adapting a Philip K. Dick story for the British sci-fi anthology series Out of This World. Terry Nation would go on to write for Doctor Who the following year, where he created the Doctor's most persistent foes, the Daleks. And in 1997, the first Sci-Fi Channel original series premiered.
Can you drop us out of hyperspace and make us look disabled?
Yes.
Good, do it, and show them our port side.
No good, port side cannons are down.
I know, that's exactly what I want them to see. Lise, get ready to eject the life pods.
Uh-huh, they'll think we're abandoning ship. It's a sure sign of surrender, so she'll stop attacking.
She'll more likely fry the pods.
Exactly, and that is our chance to get a shot in. Right, Ren, I'm giving you your power back. Don't miss.
Do you really think they're going to shoot at defenseless life pods?
Martian minute.
As soon as she fires, I'll power us back up. Roll us over to the starboard side.
Hang on, everybody. I'm going to make this a rough one, so it looks good.
Titled Deepwater Black in its native Canada and based on a science fiction novel by New Zealand writer Ken Cattran, the show was retitled Mission Genesis for American consumption. It starred future Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Dead Zone star Nicole DeBoer and future Andromeda star Gordon Michael Wolvett. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, expanded memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and prone to spiral pain.